Hello, welcome to the Post Sunday app. We're glad you joined us for this video where we talk about the sermon Post Sunday and the applications that come from it. I'm Ben Davidson. I'm the associate pastor here. This is our teaching pastor, senior pastor, pastor extraordinaire, Daniel Bennett.
I like that.
I was waiting for people to
applaud. There's not going to be a lot of applause. Have you ever been in a setting where people are watching a like they're in a room and the speaker's in a different room, they're watching on a video, and they respond like the speaker's there. I was in a conference one time where a speaker, we had to go to a remote room, and the people in the room applauded when the speaker got on the stage. I'm like, why are you, I can't hear that. I booed.
You booed. Booed the people that were applauding.
I booed everybody.
Everybody. Nice.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, hey, this is kind of a sad post-Sunday app in that this is a goodbye to 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Yeah, it's been a good study.
It's like saying goodbye to an old friend.
It is, yeah. You know? But I'm excited about Philippians.
Right.
So people have asked what we're doing next, Philippians.
Yeah, starting on January 28th,
yes,
I believe.
So Mike's preaching next week.
Right.
I'll be in Houston and then go to Dallas, help my mom move, and... you're going to be preaching on Sanctity of Life Sunday.
I'll be the 21st.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, should be fun. I know I'm doing Psalm 139. I'm guessing Mike's doing the Psalms too. So, it's Mike.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Psalms.
Right.
So,
contractually, he's not allowed to preach for me at the Book of the Bible.
Contractually. Nice. So. Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm sure, we've all gained a lot from 1st and 2nd Samuel. The questions we have today aren't necessarily just from yesterday.
It's been a couple weeks since we've done this.
We haven't done a post Sunday app in a while, so we have some questions that go back a little bit.
And I have some stuff from yesterday that I didn't get to.
Okay. Well, first of all, here we got a question related to, I think it was chapter 22.
Yeah.
We just looked at it. It was around verse 21, I think. Let me read the verse. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. This is David talking here. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Mm-hmm. And so there was an aspect that you brought up about covenant of works, and they're not saved by their works, they're saved by righteousness. So I think the question was to kind of elaborate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Why is David able to be confident that God delivered him according to his righteousness? Mm-hmm. And my argument was, this is based on the imputed righteousness of Christ.
Right.
And the person who asked the question says, I think you developed that well, but you kind of quickly said, this isn't works-based righteousness. It isn't, and other people have said, well, maybe it's based on he thinks he's righteous because he's kept the covenant. And I said, that's not the case. And then I went in and he goes, well, why do you think it's not the case? Maybe you could help. And I think that's a good question. I think based upon how David acts in that story and in other stories and what he says in other places in scripture, we know that those two things aren't what David is basing his confidence in. So one, let's take them together because they're related. We know he's not relying on his own works, even works of keeping the covenant, because of what he says in other places in scripture. So for example, we went to Psalm 51 where he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. I know my transgressions, my sins are before me. Right before this says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And so he's not relying upon his goodness or his covenant keeping, he's throwing himself upon the mercy and grace of God. And there's other places we go there, but I think that's kind of a good way to understand that.
Okay, very good. Now going back, I can't remember which sermon this was though, but someone was kind of thanking you.
This was the Mighty Men.
This
was the Mighty Men.
Okay.
David's Mighty Men.
Gotcha. Yep. Where you talked about spiritual warfare, and the person was just saying, hey, we'd love to hear maybe a little more specifics of how to engage in spiritual warfare as far as battling against it.
Yeah. And, I think what I encourage people to do is maybe read through a book like Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes, or Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life by Don Whitney, Something of Grace, Habits of Grace by David Mathis. Mm-hmm. And what I've encouraged people to do is not think that spiritual the tools of spiritual warfare are something new or you know, the means of grace that God has provided for us, and he's told us in his word, as we put ourselves in the means of grace of reading the word, memorizing the word, meditating on the word, praying, being involved in the community of the church, as we do those things, we're engaging in warfare, and we're being equipped by God to do the things he's called us to do. So I understand that the question is a fair question in terms of, you know, I need some more detail, and that's where I would go to kind of get some of those details. And,
yeah.
And even, you know, if it, is our conference from last year, our discipleship conference, easily accessible?
I'd have to double check on that, but you know, it's based on the book Praying the Bible.
Oh, good point.
By Don Whitney.
Good point, yeah.
So
yeah,
that would be a great, I was thinking about that book, as you mentioned, Whitney's other book, Praying the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a good resource for that too.
One of our elders will often tell me he's praying for me or something, and every couple weeks, and oftentimes he shows me the scripture or tells me the scripture he's praying for me. And I think, I wonder if he's still doing, you know, kind of doing some of the things from Whitney that Don Whitney suggested. So.
Yeah. Cool. Very good. You said you had some stuff from, you preached a 38-minute sermon.
Okay. And yesterday. Even shorter, because some of that I think was me reading the text. And
you don't count
there.
That as part of your sermon?
No.
Oh,
that's,
come on.
That's just commercial.
All right. We'll debate that
That's actually
later.
The main thing. And then the sermon is.
Yeah. We'll debate that later.
Okay. But, that's fair.
Yeah. So you had to cut, is what I'm getting at.
I was cutting like a scrapbooking mom. Like I'm new.
Scrapbooking
mom
can't there be scrapbooking
from the
dads?
2000s. There can't.
Okay. You don't think many dads are involved in that?
There absolutely can.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But they just shouldn't.
You're digging a deeper hole here.
I know. Here we go. Let's
see. Am I keeping you from something?
Yeah. Right. I had a heart out. What were we we're talking about? Things I cut yesterday.
Things you had to cut.
Right. Yeah. So we, and no one ever blames, no one ever.
Here we go.
I felt like our time was well used yesterday.
Absolutely. Honestly. Oh, the
baptisms. I wouldn't have cut anything out.
Oh, great morning. Absolutely. So, I agree with you. I know your heart there.
Okay. So one of the things, there's a tension in the text when it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel and he incited David against them. And we talked about how, we talked about how the writer of First Chronicles puts it differently. It says Satan incited David, and how both statements are true, that God is sovereign over sin, but not the author of sin, how God accomplishes people's evil intents and for his good and his plans. And he even uses the demonic realm's evil intent to accomplish his purposes without being the author of evil. And there's a lot of things you could study about that. But I would just encourage people. A lot of times people will look at a verse, like the first verse of the passage we were in yesterday, 2 Samuel 24, and they'll say, see, God incites evil. And you're like, well, okay, read the whole story.
Yeah.
And see if what happens at the end of the story matches what matches your interpretation of what happened in the first verse. And so just my encouragement that I was going to talk people is about, you know, read all of a narrative to make sure that your interpretation of one verse fits in with the story of the whole. Because to say that God is the author of evil based on verse one doesn't fit the whole story. It might be a conclusion you reach if that was the only verse in the Bible, but as you read the whole story, even as you come to the end of the chapter, like, oh, that's not what's happened here. That was just
okay.
That I was gonna.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. So, all right. Thanks, Daniel. And thank you to you for watching the post on Sunday app. Have a great rest of your day.